Luke chapter 2, this is our familiar Christmas passage, and it is the passage that we utilize on a weekly basis, or on a yearly basis, not a weekly basis, on a yearly basis as we celebrate Christmas as a family. And so this goes back many years in our family, and want to rehearse the passage with you this morning. We're delighted to let folks know that two of our missionary families have made it safely to their fields. We're praising the Lord today for the safe arrival of Pamela Wheeler to Botswana, and she had a number of hurdles to jump over and pass through, but she has arrived in Botswana, and the Smith family has arrived in the Ukraine, and so we rejoice in that as well. And I know many of you probably saw the Facebook updates and social media things there and pictures and so forth. And so we're thankful for both of these families, and again, thankful for the Dekus being with us. I hope you'll continue to pray for them. They have several opportunities ahead for them as it relates to Fiji. And so we're excited to see what God will do through their ministry. Look forward to hearing from Brother Josh tonight. A couple of changes, as Brother Bradford announced this morning, a couple of changes for the evening service. We were planning on having children, communion, and candlelight, and now we're reduced to candlelight. So be here tonight, all right? And we'll postpone communion for 1 week and then postpone the children's time. We'll do that here in a timely fashion where everybody can be back from the Christmas holidays and healthy for that. Luke chapter 2. Let me just also remind you of the Christmas offering for our missionaries and our church planters. We desire to be a blessing to our entire missionary family, but then also a blessing to those that are directly out of FBT. And so you'll note those different increments or amounts there in the bulletin. And so everything that is given towards the Christmas offering, if you could mark it for our Christmas missions offering, and you can place it in the box there in the Welcome Center area, and we'll collect those funds and seek to be a blessing to our entire missionary family. Each year, we try to give them a monetary gift, and by God's grace, we've been raising that each year, and that's all a tribute to your giving here at FBT, and so we're thankful for the privilege that we have to partner with missionaries that are around the world. I hope will be an encouragement to them. And this time, as they, so many of them are away from their families. Luke chapter 2, we begin reading in verse 1. We're going to take our text this morning from verses 8 through 20. And I want to walk through a very familiar passage, so it would be wonderful if there was some way that we could pretend as though we'd never heard this before. But if you were in the academy years and years and years ago, and I don't know if they still do this passage in the academy, but in the academy, we memorize Luke 2, 1 through 12 every other Christmas. So 1 year we do Matthew, the next year we do Luke chapter 2, 1 through 12. So it became very familiar to us via school memorization. But the Bible says in Luke chapter 2, in verse number 1, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary's espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. We can only imagine what it must have been like for a lady that was with child right on the cusp of the season and all the traveling. And traveling in this season is very difficult, but if you can imagine what it must have been like for Mary and Joseph as she was with child and traveling many miles on the back of a donkey. And so you can only imagine how that would bring on labor, and that would bring about this time frame. And as the song was sung this morning, you can imagine as they'd received word from the angelic from the angels, and they had said, you're going to give birth to a very special baby boy, and they'll name him Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. So the anticipation was great. But we transition from that manger scene to the story that we hone in on this text and what also transpired on this night. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. This is a normal night. This is what they've done on so many different occasions. This is the pattern of their life, taking care of these animals and of this livestock. But this was a different night. The Bible says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. An unidentified flying object is listed here in the Word of God. And this unidentified flying object was actually the angelic host. The Bible says that they were sore afraid. It was the natural response. It was what you and I would respond with if we were in the middle of the dark fields and caring for our livestock as we had on so many other occasions, and this was totally out of the ordinary. The Bible says, the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. That's very significant. The word all means all. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible says, he says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I believe that God desires for the gospel to be spread in all places to all people. The Bible says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I know your focus is in on the care of this flock, but there's an important event that is transpiring on this very night. And the Bible says in verse number 12, this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Perhaps you have heard Handel's Messiah, and you've heard a choir that will raise their voices in tribute to our great God. But I cannot imagine, as great as it would be with mankind singing in that choir and singing the songs there of Messiah, of the Messiah, I can't even begin to imagine what it was like on this night when this angelic host began to sing the praises of God. The Bible says in verse number 15, it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another. And here's our text. Here's where we want to go with the message this morning. What do we do with what we have seen and heard? What are we going to do with what we have seen and heard? The Bible says, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all those things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. We've just read one of the most incredible miracles in all the Bible. God becomes man. This is a verse that Brother Vandenberg mentioned at the Christmas concert for the young people. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seeing of angels preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Well, what was the purpose of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why would he leave heaven and come to be born in this manger? Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You know, everyone in this world reacts differently to the news of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some have tried to dismiss the event as though it never really happened. Some just ignore it altogether, and others try to worship some other made-up entity. It's almost amazing to me at how long the list is now when they begin to put their focus in on the Christmas season and how many other things that they need to make sure they mention so as not to offend other religions. But we recognize that if there were no Christ child, there would be no Christmas. How did the shepherds react to the news of the birth of Christ? Their reaction here in this passage, verses 8 through 20, is actually the reaction of faith. They left everything and went to find the Christ child. What do you and I see in this reaction of the shepherds that is necessary for all of us as it concerns itself with a biblical response to the news of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you notice number one with me in verses 8 through 14, there was a receptive ear, a receptive ear. The Bible says that they were keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The truth of the matter is that it begins right here with the listening ear or the receptive ear. Everyone sitting before me has two choices this morning: to sit and listen or to sit there and reject. You know as well as I do how easy it is to tune certain things out. Perhaps you're trying to watch the football game. Perhaps you're excited that just maybe, the Washington football team can somehow string together one more victory and be some way relevant for the rest of this winter season. Man, that'd be exciting, wouldn't it? That'd be awesome. And right in the middle of the game this afternoon in the third quarter, as we're about to go up 27-0. Yes, I did have a wonderful dream last night. Someone comes into the room. I've got something important to tell you. Not now. Not now. Can't you see? I'm busy with something that hasn't happened in a very, very long time. You know, we're able to tune things out. We're able to tune out what an individual might say. We can tune it out. And perhaps this morning you're sitting there and you've got all kinds of other things that are occupying your mindset and occupying your ear. And so you're not really hearing the good news of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It begins right here with a receptive ear. You see, the shepherds here are there in that pasture land, in the fields and so forth, and they could have been, fooey on all that. But the truth of the matter is that they wanted to know more. They wanted to hear what was being said. Every Sunday, we proclaim the truth of Christ coming to this earth, and people of all walks are able to come and listen. But why is it that we don't have to have a cutoff for people coming into the facilities? Why is it that the parking lot is not packed every week? Why is it that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cars will pass during the hour of services? Why is it that churches all across this country still have room in their pews? It's because people don't think the message is that important. It's not that significant. It's a message we've heard again and again. And so their ear is not open. Perhaps you've had the opportunity to hear the good news of the saving grace of Jesus Christ on many occasions, and yet to this point you've not yet stopped and listened to how it applies to you. In Acts chapter 26, in verse number 28, the Apostle Paul had opportunity On his journey to Rome, he had opportunity before many different magistrates and kings. And in Acts chapter 26 and verse number 28, after a lengthy witnessing opportunity with the man by the name of Agrippa, Agrippa responded and said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." You see, my friend, if you're going to understand the real meaning of Christmas, you must first of all have a receptive ear. The angels appeared to the shepherds, and the shepherds put everything else aside and listened intently to what was being said, because this was different than every other night. There's number one, a receptive ear. Number two, would you notice verses 15 and 16? There's a responsive heart. A receptive ear, and then number two, a responsive heart. The Bible says in verse 15, "And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one another, 'What is this that we've seen? This is a joke. This is an aberration. This is a mirage. Ah, just forget about it. Junior's had a dream.'" No, there was no such thing. The Bible says they said, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." You see, they realized that God had made this miracle known unto them. This was no accident. This was a supernatural announcement to them. Now, we're all very familiar with the nature of something that's not supposed to occur, but I'm saying to you this morning that it's not a coincidence right now that you're under the sound of the message of the reality and the truth of Christmas. Christmas is about Christ. Christmas is about the greatest gift that has ever been given. Christmas is about God the Father knowing your need and being willing to send his very best to take your place in that place and position of need. You had a sin debt that must be paid. And the Father held nothing back and was willing to give his Son. You say, "Well, I thought Christmas was all about all the shopping and all the hustle and all the bustle, and I thought it was about what gifts I'm going to receive and whether or not I could compare my list with what I've asked for and what I actually have come in, and I thought it was just about improving myself or doing some good things." No, my friend, Christmas would never be Christmas if it weren't for Christ. And the Bible says that the Father gave his very best. The Father sent the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God tells us that we are not redeemed with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Something far more valuable than anything in this world could even begin to offer. They had a responsive heart. They acted upon the facts that were revealed to them. It's not a coincidence that you're sitting here in the auditorium this morning. It's not a coincidence that you're being given this opportunity to hear the real story of Christmas. The truth of Christ's birth had been revealed to them, and they were now going to respond in faith by going to the Christ child. You know, the thief on the cross responded in faith. When he listened to what everybody else was saying about the man in the middle, when he listened to what everybody else was saying about the one that was dying, who had known no sin, who had actually committed no crime, when the thief on the cross listened to what they were saying about Jesus Christ, he believed. And Jesus said to him, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." The Ethiopian eunuch believed on the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Acts. He's traveling on a journey, and he's reading the book of Isaiah. The Bible says Philip comes alongside of his chariot, and he said, "How can I know all about this unless someone would show me the way?" And the Bible says that Philip shows him the truth. And the eunuch had an open ear. He wanted the truth. And then he responded with a receptive heart. He said, "Here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized?" And a great verse there in Acts chapter 8. He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." The Philippian jailer responded. At midnight, Paul and Silas were singing the praises of God. And the Bible says that the jailhouse began to shake and quake. The Bible says that the doors begin to shudder. The Bible says that all were concerned and could have surely escaped. The Apostle Paul steps out as the jailer's about to take his own life because he had been delinquent in his duties and prisoners had escaped. The Apostle Paul says, listen, don't do that. Put up thy sword. He said, what must I do to be saved? You see, he had a responsive heart. Cornelius, in Acts chapter 10, was a deeply religious man, but he was not a saved man. And the Bible says through the process of time and events, he comes to the Apostle Peter, and he learns the truth of salvation, and Peter leads him to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible says he gets saved, and then his whole household got saved. You see, there was a responsive heart. And it's quite possible that someone sitting before me this morning has heard the message of again and again and again. And God is on this occasion with one more event and one more message telling you that this applies to you and to your life. And you need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I said yesterday in the funeral, as I tried to repeat in just about every single funeral service that I'm involved with, I want to repeat again and again that the only way is the way of Jesus Christ. The religious have tried to get to heaven on their religion, and it has never one time worked. The self-righteous have tried to get to heaven on their own self-righteousness, and it has never one time worked. The rich man has tried to get to heaven based upon his riches, and it has never one time worked. You see, the only way to heaven is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, Jesus Christ says to you, I died in your place. Will you put your faith and trust in me for your eternal life? A responsive ear, the Bible, or a receptive ear and a responsive heart, they acted upon what the angels had said. They could have just said, ah, that's no big deal. We're not worried about that. This is make believe. This is a fantasy. This is a fairy tale. But they acted in faith with a responsive heart. And then would you notice number 3 with me, verses 17 through 20. They had a receptive ear, they had a responsive heart, and number 3 we find in verses 17 through 20, they had a rejoicing tongue. The Bible says in verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Perhaps you thought this was just going to be another ordinary Christmas season. But you're sitting before me right now, trusting your religion to get you to heaven. You thought this was going to be another normal Christmas season, and you're trusting all the stuff that you've acquired to get you to heaven. Perhaps you're sitting before me this morning, and you're looking back at a laundry list of your own self-righteousness, and you think, okay, this is just going to be another normal Christmas season. I'm saying to you today, will you have a receptive ear? Will you listen to what I'm saying and perhaps hear it for the very first time? Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5, the Bible says that we are not saved by the works of our own actions, but we are saved by the mercy of Almighty God. We're not saved by anything that we can do or what we have done. We're saved by the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. This could be the best Christmas season that you have ever had if you would come to know the greatest gift that's ever been given. But when you do come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's a natural outpouring. There's a rejoicing tongue. I just want to tell somebody else what Jesus has done for me. I trusted Christ as my Savior when I was a young person. I don't have the testimony of the individual that lived many years for themselves and dabbled in all different kinds of things and Christ saved them from the life of a prodigal. It's not my testimony. I trusted Jesus Christ many years ago, but as a young person. But you know what? It took just as much to save my soul as it does to save the drunkard's soul. Because I was lost in my sins and I was on my way to hell. And shame on me if I haven't been willing to tell somebody else that Jesus Christ has made all the difference in my life. Oh, I enjoy the Christmas season. As I get a little bit older, I'm far more about watching the excitement of our boys in opening gifts than I am really about anything that they would give me. Now, I enjoy opening things. I'm not saying I don't. But boy, through the years, we've had some great times. When we got them their first G.I. Joes, man, that was a great Christmas. I mean, for them. That's what I mean. What were you all thinking? See, we didn't buy them those short ones. That's not really G.I. Joe. We bought them the tall ones with the great accessories. Oh, man. Man. Good times. We love giving the boys Playmobil. I don't know if you're familiar with Playmobil, but it is a tremendous toy set that comes out of Germany and so forth. And boy, we got a number of those sets. Boy, I was so excited to give them to the kids. Just thrilled to death to see it. I've been excited at different times to be able to give a gift to my wife. And I would set everything up in line, and I'd be just thrilled to death to give her a gift and to see how she would respond. She comes to me today and she says, "Oh, you already know everything that you're getting." I'm not the one that wants to know. I want to sit back and be totally surprised. My wife will say, "Don't go in that closet. Don't go in that room. Don't check that box. Don't look at Amazon." Is that what your spouse has said? "Don't look at Amazon. You know, everything's coming in 2-day delivery, you know." Man, I tell you, it was always great, though, the Sunday after Christmas. Because young people would come in and they'd say, "Oh, I got this new suit of clothes for Christmas. Oh, I got this new tie for Christmas." Young ladies would come in, "Oh, I got this dress for Christmas," or something like this. Or they'd say, "Hey, you got to come over to the house this week while we're on school break, and you got to play my new game system." The other day, we were in our basement, and I found my game system. Not my boy's game system, my game system. It's a little thing about this big. It has Ms. Pac-Man on it and Galaga, and I could sit for days and just go at it. And then I'm hollering my son saying, "Go to bed, stop playing those video games," as I'm playing Ms. Pac-Man, right? And when the gifts are given, we can't help but go out and tell somebody, "Look at what I've been given. This is awesome. This is great. I loved it. I hated it. It's my size. It's my color. This is awesome." Truth of the matter is, there's never been a gift like the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is so significant for you and I to read these words from the shepherds who had a receptive ear when the angels appeared unto them. They didn't just tune it out and say, "You know what? It's not that big of a deal. Let's just go back to the herd." No, they had a responsive heart and they said, "No, let's go immediately and check this out." And so they went by faith. They believed that they would find exactly what the angelic host said they would find. And boy, when they left that manger scene, they couldn't help but gallop all the way back and let everyone know within distance the Christ child has been born. Now let me close the message this morning with a passage of scripture that we're also familiar with. But in light of the things that I've shared with you this morning about our response to the Christmas story, I think it's really interesting to pair up this passage with Luke chapter 2. A receptive ear, a responsive heart, and then a rejoicing tongue. Would you turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 10? Romans chapter 10, and look what the Apostle Paul says to the church at Rome. As he speaks on the same topic, we're going to see these very same characteristics here in this passage. And this, my friend, is what is absolutely necessary in this Christmas season. A receptive ear. Will you listen to what I'm saying and know, my friend, that it is not a coincidence that you're under the sound of the gospel this morning? Will you have a responsive heart and say, you know what? I'm tired of trusting my religion and mine own righteousness and all of my riches. I'm tired of trusting in all this stuff. I want to come to meet Jesus Christ because he is the answer for my eternal life. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 10, would you look with me here? In Romans chapter 10 and verse number 12, and again, think with me about these three things. A receptive ear, a responsive heart, a rejoicing tongue. The Bible says in verse number 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You and I today have the opportunity in proclaiming the good news of the Savior. We have the opportunity to do what the angelic host did on that night with the shepherds. We can go and tell somebody what the Lord has done. And we then pray that they'll have a responsive heart and that they will then take what Jesus Christ has done in their heart and go and tell somebody else. You see, the Bible says that all of this comes about. Look at the last part of the verses. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you this morning have a receptive ear? Ah, Pastor, I've heard this Christmas story tens of times. Well, have you ever taken the Christmas story that you've heard with the ear and made application in your heart? Receive Jesus to be your Savior. That this Christmas season, if you know Jesus Christ, then you have the greatest gift that has ever been given. Where is the tongue that is willing to tell somebody else? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture and for the great story that's revealed to us here in Luke chapter 2. As we think about what it must have been like for Mary and Joseph traveling those many miles and coming to that place there and finding that there's no room for them in the inn. And then Mary gives birth to the Christ child. And what a story where God became flesh and dwelt among us. He lived his life in a perfect way. He knew no sin that he might be made sin for us. The message of the story of Christmas goes forth to all these people that are physically present before me here on campus and to all those folks that are watching us online. And I pray if there be one or more that do not know the Lord as their Savior, that today would be that day that they not only have a receptive ear, but that they have a responsive heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Lord, I pray for each one of us who know Christ. I pray that we would leave this place with a rejoicing tongue, not just because we've received some kind of a gift that was very coveted or very wanted, but I pray that we'd leave this place praising God for the gift that he gave. We'd be willing to tell family members and friends, co-workers and neighbors of all that the Lord has done for us. At this Christmas season, it's not just about the trinkets that we're able to give one to another, but it is about the great Savior that was given that can bring peace to all mankind. Would you work in this time of invitation? I pray in Jesus' name.